This morning, though, we're going to continue our series that we've just started, thinking about the Christian life and following Jesus. Jesus calls everyone, as we've been thinking, to follow him. And we're going to do that this morning, as we've been doing over the weeks, the last week and the week ahead. This chap up here is someone you may not recognize. He's actually quite famous. His name is Pippin Ferreras. Pippin has one desire. You might realize what it is by the way he's dressed. He wants to go deep. Deeper than any person has ever gone. You and I might be content with perhaps 10 or 20 feet of water. Certain risk takers may descend 40 or even 50 feet, but not Pippin. This legendary Cuban diver has descended, wait for it, into 531 feet of ocean water, armed with nothing but flippers, a wetsuit, deep resolve, and one breath of air. His round trip lasted 3 minutes and 12 seconds. Now, to prepare for such a dive, he loads his lungs with 8.2 litres of air. That's nearly twice the capacity of a normal human being. Inhaling and exhaling for several minutes, his windpipe sounds like a bicycle pump. He then wraps his knees around the crossbar of an aluminium sled that lowers him to the bottom of the sea. No free diver has gone further, and yet he still wants more. Pippin always wants to go deeper. He's a free diver, no aqualung, it's just his own resolve and lungs, but he longs to go as deep as they can possibly take him. Pippin Ferreras. Well, this morning we're thinking, as the notes say, about going deeper. And we're digging deeper this evening, so we're very deep. And I lost my voice this week, so it's a little bit deeper than normal. So it's a very deep week here at Slatebrook. But what do we really mean by this morning? Going deeper. Well, we're thinking, as John has very helpfully thought about already for us and introduced the subject, following Jesus in baptism, this powerful sign that we read about in the notes, which shows the world that we love Jesus. He's the beautiful Savior. He's the one who's going to lead us home to glory, and we want to live our lives in gratitude because of that fact. So we want to follow Jesus. Last week we were thinking about what it means to follow Jesus in loving God's Word. Jesus loved the Scriptures. He fulfilled the Scriptures. He is the Word, and we need to love the Scripture. And if we read and love the Scripture, we find that the Scripture tells us that we should believe and be baptized. It's like a domino effect. You start with faith, and then the next one goes down, and that's baptism, and then the next one, and the next one. The dominoes are meant to keep on going down until we go to glory, when we should be perfect. And when we see Jesus, the Bible says we should be like him. So it's not just baptism. I thought the baby picture was fantastic, by the way, because John made a really good point out of it, but I was also thinking about the point Paul makes about being like a baby as a Christian and not being able to take the strong, or perhaps the word today should be the deep things that God wants to teach us and show us. And sometimes we think we can drive the car as babies. Well, God says, no, if you want to drive the car, if you want to know the propulsion of the Holy Spirit in the direction that God really wants to send you, you need to grow up. And that means you need to go deeper. This is a biblical principle that we shall think about this morning. Just like Pippin Ferreras, I hope everyone in this room has a hunger, or maybe it should be a thirst, to go deeper. Have you? You hungry for God? Hope so, because we're going to see this morning that isn't just something that happens at baptism and that's it, job done. It should be baptism and then beyond. Let's read from Luke 3. It's only 3 verses, but they're key because we're following Jesus, and Jesus models for us what baptism is all about. Could someone shout out, first one to it please, the page of the Church Bible for Luke 3? 1030. Husband just interrupted wife there, I think. So who will win the race next week? I don't know. Excellent. I'm not getting involved. Okay. So let's read and pray that God will illuminate this page for us. Jesus is being talked about in the Gospels, of course, from birth in some of the Gospels. John and Mark don't do that so much. Matthew and Luke do, as we think about it, Christmas especially, the birth of Jesus. Then he inaugurates this ministry that takes him to the cross and beyond, as we love reading about. But let's read from verse 21. In Luke's account, it says this: when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph. Luke goes on, as the other Gospels do, to tell us whose son he really is. And it's through the disciples' eyes that we suddenly see the penny drop. You're the Christ. You're the one that anyone who loves God's word has read about and longs for. And now here he is. Let's pray that this short cameo in Luke's Gospel will really speak to us this morning. Father, again, we pray with boldness and yet also humbly. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill us with a fresh desire to go deep, to lead us as a church and as individuals into the deep things of God. Father, help us, we pray this morning, to see with open eyes, fresh eyes perhaps, from your word, what it is that you want to teach us. And may we see Jesus, and may he enthrall us so much that this week becomes an exciting adventure in following him. We ask it for his glory and in his name. Amen. Anyone not know where the baptistry is, incidentally, in the church? Where is it? Surely doesn't know where it is. No? Anyone else? Eddie is a very perceptive young man, aren't you, Eddie? It's under my feet, yes. And if I press a button, I go straight down. No, I'm joking. There are boards. There are three boards here. And when they come up, there are some steps that go down. The water is heated. I've only been in this baptistry once when Beth was baptized, actually. And that was a lovely occasion. Some of you have seen many baptisms here. Some of you have probably never seen a baptism either in this church or maybe ever, actually. But when someone says, I want to follow Jesus, and I can't wait to go deeper, I want to live my life for him, he's done so much for me, I want to show the world. When that happens in a place like this, the person, we often call them the candidate, which is rather official, but the person who wants to get baptized comes up, maybe they confess why, they say this is why. And their friends, their family come, and someone perhaps who either they respect or they think won't drop them, gets in the water with them, and then just like we've been reading, they get baptized. Maybe it might not be quite as profound or as vivid in the sense that we've just read about. Jesus' baptism must have been a beautiful scene, mustn't it? But I can honestly say that every baptism I've been to is powerful. And every time I see a baptism, including my own actually, I think, I want to do it again. We don't need to do it again, but it's a wonderful rite of passage which allows us to keep on going deeper and deeper into the things that God wants to show us. So baptism is wonderful, actually. It's a really great thing. And I hope this morning you will be encouraged, either as someone who's been baptized, to go deeper, keep on going deeper and have that desire. But if you haven't been baptized, think about it. This is what Jesus wants you to do. This is a sign that you love him and you want to obey him and you want to live for him. If you haven't yet been baptized, just like the eunuch looked to Philip when he became a Christian in the book of Acts, he said, look, there's some water here. What's stopping us? What's stopping you? It's what Jesus wants for your life. And we're hoping to have some baptism classes. Those of you who are coming to the After Alpha Thursday night sequels will know that we're looking at some of the things that make up the Christian life. And baptism is the second session. So I think that's going to be in February. And if I've worked out my sums correctly, after that session, which is going to be held at Richard and Kath's house, anyone who is interested in baptism can come to that. But also after that, we're going to hold some baptism classes. We're going to hold them after the morning service. Just looking here at how I've worked this out, after you've heard what the course has to say, after the morning service, on the 13th and 20th of February, we're going to hold a couple of classes. So anyone who wants to either find out more or is desperate to get wet and be baptized, if we go in the church lounge, we're going to look at the scriptures, listen to why you want that or questions you have about it, and it should be good. And hopefully, we'll see people baptized, won't we? And that will be an exciting thing. So that might be for you. Firstly, though, let's think about, in the time we've got, going deeper, following Jesus in baptism and beyond. If you've been baptized this morning, isn't relevant for you, it's just the beginning, isn't it? So, firstly, I want us just to draw into this this brief passage to think about Jesus' baptism before we apply it to ourselves. Here in Luke 3, verse 21, we see this. We see Jesus among his community. In other words, he's being public. And this is the first thing I want to say about baptism. It's a public thing. It's something that's meant to show others what it means to you, the sign outwardly, as John said, of the inward reality. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. Now, Jesus was baptized uniquely. Jesus' baptism wasn't like the baptisms that came before or after his baptism. Jesus is a unique character in history, isn't he? He's the Son of God. He's the only person who ever lived who never sinned. And that makes him unique and special and worthy of the praise we've been offering him this morning. The baptism that was going on prior to Jesus' own baptism, they were being carried out by John the Baptist. He was known for getting in the water and baptizing people. And John's baptism was for the washing or for the remission of sins. Okay? Little bit like, because it's still January, the best thing I think I can come up with is, it's a bit like New Year's resolutions. We all make them, but we continually break them. And we get to January next year, God willing, if Jesus hasn't come or we haven't died, and we make them again, because we break them. And so we keep making them and breaking them and making them and breaking them, and that's the kind of New Year's resolution philosophy that I'm trying to apply here. People used to come to John to be baptized for remission of their latest round of sins. Didn't make them right with God, but it gave them the next opportunity to think about what it means to be right with God. And so John's baptism was a bit like a cycle. People came, they wanted to be clean, but John couldn't really clean them up, great man though he was, because he also was a sinner. So it was a bit like when you get in from a kind of a filthy walk or a bike ride and you look at yourself and you think, good grief, I need to be washed, I need to be cleaned. John's baptism, the baptism that the people were publicly doing together here in the River Jordan, was to just clean them up. But it couldn't actually erase the problem of sin. That's why Jesus came. And because he was sinless, he was able to transfer that holiness, that righteousness to us. And that, again, is what the cross is partly about. Giving us what we don't deserve, but he freely offers it. He cleans us up because he's sinless and he can pay for our sin as well. So Jesus comes and his baptism is unique. He doesn't have any sin to wash away like John and everyone else in that time. So why did he do it? Because everyone that came and got baptized after Jesus, as a result of Jesus' great commission in Matthew 28, go into the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, and baptize them. And if you're coming tonight, good Trinitarian verse, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all involved in this wonderful thing when Jesus tells us to go, teach, baptize, see what the power of God can do. Everyone who came to faith and got baptized because of the great commission, their baptism is because of what Jesus did. And I think I say in the notes that baptism symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So everyone before Jesus was trying to wash away their sin, but it obviously didn't wash up. Everyone after was getting baptized because Jesus commanded them to. What's Jesus' unique baptism about? Well, Jesus, I think, for me anyway, is powerfully and personally and publicly identifying himself with people. He's coming near. He's showing people that he's just like them, apart from sin. He's going to know what suffering is. He's going to know what vulnerability is. He's going to know what it is to live the human life and identify with the human struggle. And that's what makes him such a wonderful saviour, isn't it? Wonderful counsellor. How can he be a wonderful counsellor? We sang about it. Unless he knows and understands what we go through. So Jesus goes public, not just with his desire to show people what baptism is like, but he goes public with his desire to love people and draw near to people. People that are desperate to wash themselves clean, but they can't. Jesus comes into that mess and publicly shows that he himself will stand with them, be immersed with them. The word baptism or baptizo in the Greek means to immerse, to dye a garment, literally, plunging it under the water and bringing it up, transformed. Jesus comes to be public, to show the world that God is not aloof. When all the people were congregating, desperate to clean their lives up, Jesus comes among them. It's a powerful picture of the gospel. It's beautiful, I think. And here he is, showing us that baptism is a public thing. It's a thing where he identified with us in order that we might publicly identify with him. Baptism is also personal, and there's this fantastic, it's one of my favourite sort of glimpses into the times which I wish I'd lived in. Don't you wish you'd lived when Jesus was here? It would have been fabulous, wouldn't it? In some ways, it would have been quite scary, and it's nice to have retrospect on some of the things that we read about. It would have been very confusing at the time. But it's wonderful to think what this scene was like. Jesus reveals his true identity, or rather it's revealed for him. It's Jesus who's praying. It's a wonderful spiritual thing to go through the waters of baptism, to identify with his mission and the people he loves. And as he was praying, the heavens were open. It's beautiful, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit descending in bodily form, and uniquely in Scripture, I would suggest, as a dove. The Spirit of God often comes as fire. He's described as wine or oil, the oil of gladness. A mighty rushing wind, but here, uniquely, because this is a unique baptism, Jesus, he comes as a dove. There's nothing to startle the dove in Jesus. There's no shocks or awful things that are being hidden. He's the gentle Jesus, meek and mild, perhaps not completely like the children's prayer. He was a man of bravery and he was outspoken as well, but he was gentle, wasn't he? Beautiful picture of Jesus' perfect, peaceful life. And a dove is able to come into that scene. The Holy Spirit descending into this wonderful, wonderful life. And also a voice. The voice from heaven that says, and I'm sure it was a loud voice, don't you? I'm sure it was a voice of authority. I've got this sort of, I don't want to sound irreverent, but this sort of Liam Neeson, Aslan voice. If you've seen Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, it's a very dignified voice. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Beautiful, isn't it? This lovely Trinitarian passage, again, I'm giving you clues for tonight, if you're coming. The Great Commission, Jesus' baptism, the Trinity are involved. Jesus in the middle, the Spirit descending on him, empowering him for the ministry he's about to go on to fulfill, and the commendation from God. Jesus is here uniquely to seek and save the lost. And baptism is personal. Jesus is saying, this is who I am. And God is endorsing it, and the Spirit is revealing it, and will go on to reveal it. But baptism for us is a personal thing. I can't get baptized because you want me to. I have to get baptized because I want to. And if I want to get baptized, it's because something has happened in me. And I've seen for myself that Jesus calls me to, because he wants me to live for him. It's a personal thing, as well as a public thing. And Jesus models it for us with this very beautiful Trinitarian episode. And the third thing we find in this brief little reading is that it's all about preparation. It's public. Jesus is among the people, wonderfully identifying with them in their desperate desire to be clean. And as the one who is clean, he's the Son of God, who personally is going to be revealed as such, a wonderful image of this divine man who is the Saviour of the world. But in verse 23, we go on to read this. Because Scripture never stands still, and Christians shouldn't either. Some of us would perhaps like to sit there on the banks of the Jordan and just bask in the sunshine and put our feet in the water and just lap up the whole thing. But Jesus, it says, goes on. As lovely as that scene was, there's work to be done. Verse 23 says, Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. And the point of this is quite simple. Baptism, as we've already said, is not the end. Some people think, I'm a Christian now, I'll get baptised, I'll start going to church occasionally, I'll read my Bible a bit. Fine, job done, going to heaven. And that's true. Amazing, isn't it, the grace of God. He allows people that kind of shuffle through life like that to still enjoy heaven. But do you know what? Those people miss out. People like that miss out on all the things God wants them to experience and all the things that he wants them to receive and all the things he wants them to do. You see, the Christian life begins with faith. And as I don't say, they go on to baptism because I want to show the world. This has happened to me personally. And now I'm prepared. I'm prepared to go and live the life that God wants me to. And I want the Holy Spirit to descend on me. I want the power of the Holy Spirit, not for my own use and abuse, but because God can do mighty things through the Spirit at work in a human being. You've seen that, some of you, hopefully all of you. Hopefully you're an example of that, because unless you're born of the Spirit, it's just religion. So we want the Spirit to descend upon us, don't we? We want the voice of God to commend us. This is my child. And this is the direction I'm sending him into, or this is the gifts I've given her. And these are the things that we want for us, ourselves, isn't it, as Christians? The Spirit and the Father, and right at the centre, the Son, who models for us a life prepared, a life just beginning to serve the risen Lord Jesus. That's what baptism really is. Not the end, it's the springboard. Jesus was just preparing to go public and tell the world what they needed to hear. And the great thing about baptism is that it's just the beginning. You bring the person up out of the water. Always promise to do that, by the way. There's no Pippin Ferreras is here. Stay down. Everyone comes up. Picture of resurrection. And you breathe deep and you think, right, here's the rest of my life. This is where I'm going now. This is what I want. This is where I'm hungry to go deeper, you see. This is the imagery of the morning. We want to go further, don't we? The shallows are wonderful. It's always warm water, isn't it, the shallows? Have you noticed that? Even in England, the shallows are lovely. Or if you have been out in deeper water, when you come back to the shallows, you think, wow, this is like bath water. It's Western Supermare. What's going on? But the shallows might be warm, but they're just that, they're shallow. And spiritually speaking, friends, you might be cozy, you might be comfortable, but God is calling you to go deeper. Every one of you in this room, are you willing to go? Jesus models it. Baptism for him was just the beginning of a life that was going to go to the depths that I can't even imagine. He was made sin for me. He went to Calvary for me. He was bruised more than any man's face has ever been bruised. And his back was whipped for me. And he shed his blood for me. And he calls me. He calls even me. It's the least I can do, isn't it? To at least want to go deeper. I know I'm going to stuff up. I know I'm going to fail. But at least I want to go deeper. Maybe like Pippin Ferreras this week, you can think, right, breathe in. Bit more scripture. Bit more prayer. A bit more opportunity to go out there and tell everyone. This is the way God wants us to be prepared. And Jesus models it. And baptism is a catalyst for it. So, thinking about Jesus, modelling it, following Jesus who went uniquely to the Jordan to show us in his own baptism something of what it's all about. But we want to think this morning about going further, don't we? I love that. It looks different on that screen than on my computer because there's a kind of wrinkle in the screen. It comes on like a snake. Anyway, faith to follow further. Are you prepared to go deeper? I'm sad, aren't I? I need to get out more. But this is serious, actually. Baptisms are wonderful. And we've kind of built them up, you know, to be something that is something of a celebration. And we invite our friends and our family and people we think we would benefit from seeing it. And that's great. Do you know what? To be baptized in the first century was really saying, put your hand up if you want to die. Seriously. No one has, by the way, for the sake of the tape. But that's really what it is. Put your hand up or step out if you're really serious about following Jesus. Because you see, the disciples, those who spread this powerful mission, go and tell others, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. The people that did that were marked men and women. They weren't popular. They weren't people that went along with the grain of society, the mainstream. The mainstream was saying, eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you might die. It's all about me. The person who's following Jesus and going deeper in following Jesus, the person who wants to be baptized, friends, is the person that says, I'm going to go against the grain. I'm actually going to stand up and stand out for Jesus. I'm not going to be unusual. I'm not going to be difficult. I'm not going to be unhelpful or gratuitous about it. But if the Bible calls me to be this in a world that says, no, don't be that, I'm going to be it anyway. And that's it, isn't it? And I think sometimes, friends, the church in this country has rightly, in some respects, tried to listen and graft in and become relevant in society. But we're also countercultural, according to John Stott. That's the book he wrote on the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount, just like baptism, is really saying, are you going to live for Jesus or not? Are you going to have values that actually go against the grain? Not to cause trouble for trouble's sake, but to show the world that there's actually a better way, a more peaceful way, a more profitable way, a more powerful way. And if we're not the people, friends, that are furthering this message by going deeper in our own experience of what God has done in our lives, then no one else is going to do it, are they? So what does baptism mean? Finally, and we're going to close with these three thoughts briefly. Baptism is a bath. And you can go through Scripture and you can find in the New Testament very helpful references that give us clues as to what happens when a person is baptized. Luke 3 is a superb example because it comes from Jesus himself. But it's also elsewhere a bath. Ananias was a man who was very instrumental in Saul of Tarsus' conversion. Saul was a hater of Jesus. He despised Christians. And then the power of the gospel struck him dumb. Or struck him blind, actually. And just like John said, it cut into the heart that Jesus is God and Jesus is risen. And if Jesus is who he says he is, I need to sort myself out and trust him. And when Saul did that, and he became later Paul, the great missionary and theologian of the New Testament, this is part of his salvation process. The man called Ananias came to Saul and he said this, what are you waiting for? This is the great question about baptism. What's holding you back? What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. The water, as John said, is not magical. It's not anything about the actual act of baptism that saves you. We've seen that, haven't we, already? John's baptism, they kept coming back for more because they kept on breaking the things that needed to be washed away. But Jesus can wash us clean once and for all. And his blood is powerful enough to take the wickedest thing I've ever done and remove it from my life as far as the east is from the west. That's powerful, isn't it? And if he's willing to do that for me, what am I waiting for? I want to show the world that I've been washed, that I've had a bath, and it's in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to call on his name and show the world that I'm now clean and I'm cleansed from my sin. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we still sin, and the power of sin is something we all reckon with. That's why we confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John says. But the cleansing is once for all at Calvary, and he's done it. And we need just to recognize that and live the kind of lives, friends, that do not like sin. We don't sit well with sin. Because we've been baptized, and beyond it is the life I want to live. We need to remember that, and we need to aspire to that. And we don't want to settle down with sin when Jesus suffered and died to save us from it. Baptism washes us away, symbolically, all the sins that Jesus died for. Baptism is also a burial. It washes us. It's the cleansing from sin that Jesus alone can give. But it's also dying to self. What does that mean, dying to self? Well, when you become a Christian, you get a new nature. You get the Holy Spirit, God's wonderful deposit within you. He's the comforter. He guides us. He leads us. He fills us. He empowers us. He convicts us of the very things we've been thinking of, the sins that so easily entangle us. And so baptism is so powerful, friends, because it also symbolizes, like Jesus did literally for us, the death that we must die. Jesus died for us. He took our sins and our sorrows and he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. He suffered and died alone. That's what Jesus did. And of course, God raised him, as we'll be thinking about in a moment. But it's in the death of Jesus, friends, that we need to think about our own death. Death to the old nature, the sin in us, that keeps us from God in the first place and wants to keep us from doing anything for God the minute we get the other side of the cross and become Christians. All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus, says Paul, were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. Everything that went before my baptism stays at the bottom of the water. And everything, so to speak, that I will ever do, as long as I confess it, and as long as I'm repentant of it, that goes down there as well. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Some people try and stifle or deny or deal with their sin for their whole life, and they never manage it. And Jesus says, come on, let's bury it. Let's bury it at the bottom of that baptistry. Just like I buried it when I died. I took it with me and it's not coming back. It's a wonderful thing. It cancels out the things that we did and regret. Baptism shows the world that they're gone. They're buried. We're clean. We need to die to self, friends. Because baptism is not the end. It's the beginning of the life we're going to live. And we need to keep on dying to self. I think it's Paul, isn't it, who says, I die daily. Every day I wake up and I think, no, it's not me, it's Christ. He needs to live through me. If he lives through me, then I can be the man or the woman that God wants me to be. But if I just shut the door and live for myself, it's just going to start piling up again. We need to die to self and live for Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. And the last thing this morning is this. Baptism is a bath. Baptism is a burial. But also, just as Jesus came out of the ground, the empty tomb, Easter's coming. And we're going to think about the fact that he's not here. He's risen. And that's powerful and wonderful. And the world needs to know that Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, baptism for us is a birth. The best bit about baptizing someone or being baptized is when you bring them up. I've baptized a few people, and I know that every time, as my memory serves me, there's a look of joy. Perhaps it's relief, I don't know. But there looks like a joyous, like the picture we saw, actually. The guy was doing that. There's a joy on the face of a person who's left their sin behind, who's clean, and there's no condemnation. And now it's all about the life that I'm going to live. Oh, it's wonderful, honestly. I remember my own baptism, and it's just a great thing. Having been buried with him, we've already thought about that, in baptism, and raised with him. Through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead, here it goes, God made you alive with Christ. This is wonderful theology, you know. This is what we need to know about God, and God wants us to know about him. He's done a terrific thing for us. And baptism is the way that we celebrate it and we demonstrate it. We celebrate what God has done in us and we show the world because we love him who first loved us. And it's the beginning. Jesus started his ministry after his baptism. Imagine what God wants to do in your life. Those of you who've already been baptized, maybe this is a wake-up call. Do you remember your baptism? Do you remember the joy of it? Do you remember the reason you wanted it in the first place? Where has it taken you? How is your life looking and where is it going? It needs to go deeper. And if you're not someone this morning who's here thinking, well, I've never been baptized, but I love Jesus. I want this and I want to be washed and I want to be buried, all the old things, and I want to live for Christ, then maybe you need to get baptized. There's no maybe about it, actually. It's a command. Believe and be baptized. So what about it? What about it? Who wants to be baptized? Or who wants their life to go beyond baptism into the deep waters that God wants them to enjoy? Whether you're a new Christian or a mature disciple, we're called by Christ to follow him deeper every day.